Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
This is a month where we have not yet done the 25-26 crop year. So we continue to look at the crop that would have been harvested this past fall and how it's been marketed. That's important to remember because while we have lots of discussions about tariffs, there are some parts of the season that are already baked in.
USDA Chief Economist Seth Meyer.
So when we think about the 24-25 crop year, for example, we didn't make changes to corn, for instance. Part of this is because we don't have any corn on the books to China. We haven't sold corn to China this year, and at the same time, we're two-thirds to three-quarters marketed for that crop. It does show up in some places within the WASDE this month. On the livestock side, we see it in some price softening in pork in particular, and overall reductions in trade for beef and for pork.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Good day in the House. I told you not to doubt us. The media always does. The Democrats always do. But we get the job done, and we're really grateful to have had the big victory on the floor just now. It was a big one, a very important one.
Mike Johnson from Louisiana is Speaker of the House of Representatives, talking about bills passed by Congress this week.
On a busy week in Washington, we got a lot of important things done for the American people this week. We passed the SAVE Act today, as you know, and that ensures that you got to have identification. You have to prove your identity because only U.S. citizens should vote and decide U.S. elections. It's already in federal law, but there's no mechanism currently to ensure that that law is always followed. And this measure, the SAVE Act, will help make sure that is true. We passed the No Rogue Rulings Act, which, as you know, will limit the ability of activist, liberal, in this case, federal judges, to issue injunctions that will stop a president's policies nationwide. That has been wildly abused against President Trump, and the Congress had an obligation and a responsibility, I think, to step in and make sure that we bring that under control. We also repealed some very damaging Biden-era regulations again this week, and we'll continue that work. But the big news today, of course, is that we passed the budget resolution. We adopted the Senate's amendments to the resolution, holding in place all of the commitments and the instructions, the guidelines that the House originally enacted. And that was a big step because that will allow us now to move forward to have our committees actually drafting the One Big Beautiful Bill. There's a lot of work ahead of us, and we're really excited about that.
So we hear this term, Big Beautiful Bill, but what is it and what does it do?
The budget reconciliation bill, the reason we call it the One Big Beautiful Bill, everybody in this crowd of journalists knows that all the components that will be in that. We're talking about ensuring that the border is secure, having the resources that are necessary to do that. We're talking about getting the American economy going again by reducing regulations. We're talking about restoring peace through strength and making sure we have the measures in place to properly fund those priorities. We have a lot of things, American energy dominance, all the components that will make things better for Americans, drive down the cost of living, and get our economy really going again. And, of course, not the least of which, the big components of the One Big Beautiful Bill is to ensure that we don't have the largest tax increase in U.S. history all at once, which is what would happen at the end of this year if we didn't accomplish this mission, because the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the tax cuts from the first Trump administration, as we know, would expire. So a big day for us. We will now get the committees operating on all cylinders. They'll be working over the two-week district work period that encompasses Passover and Easter. They'll take a couple of days off for those holy celebrations and then keep their sleeves rolled up and get right back to work. The committees in the Senate and the House will be working in a collaborative fashion. We've explained this, that this really is a one-team approach by Republicans in both chambers. I'm so grateful to Leader Thune and his steady hand of leadership. We had a joint press conference this morning making our commitments known of what we're going to try to do, and that is ensure real savings for the American people, because we have to do that. We have a responsibility to get our country back on a sound fiscal trajectory and also make sure that we ensure and protect those essential programs. The Democrats, as I noted this morning, have said that we're going to gut Medicaid. It is not true. We're going to protect the benefits that everyone is legally entitled to. The beneficiaries who have a legal right to that, it will be preserved. Those are essential safety net programs that Republicans support. The president has made clear Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid will not take a hit. So you can count on that, and you can watch it develop as we go.
Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, it's Agriculture Today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
With China, as you know, against my statement, they put a 34% tariff on above what their ridiculous tariffs were already. And I said, if that tariff isn't removed by tomorrow at 12 o'clock, we're putting a 50% tariff on above the tariffs that we put on.
President Donald Trump on the escalating trade war with China.
So they've gone for years. They've become a rich country because of people, again, that were in the White House that allowed this to happen. Hundreds of billions of dollars a year they'd make on us on trade, and it shouldn't be that way. And I have a great relationship with President Xi. I hope it's going to stay that way. I have great respect for China, but they can't do this. We're going to have one shot at this, and no other president's going to do this, what I'm doing. And I'll tell you what, it's an honor to do it, because we have been just destroyed what they've done to our system. You know, we have $36 trillion of debt for a reason. And the reason is that people allowed it to get that way. So we'll be talking to China. We'll be talking to a lot of different countries. And I think, you know, if we can make a really fair deal and a good deal for the United States, not a good deal for others. This is America first. It's now America first.
Trump also says it wasn't that long ago that we were close to a deal and fixing this with China.
We almost had a deal with China where we were going to open up China. It was almost done. Some of you remember it during my first term, and it was very disappointing. We ended up making a great deal. $50 billion worth of product was sold. $50 billion. You'd like that in Israel. And I made that deal, but it wasn't the deal that I wanted. It was the deal that I wanted was that plus they were going to open up China so that our companies could go into China and compete with other countries and China for the, you know, for a large number of people. And at the very end, that deal was terminated and we went to a piece of the deal. And there are a lot of things outside of tariffs, but tariffs are very important. But there are a lot of things like opening up countries that were totally closed. China is essentially a closed country. In fact, it is a closed country. And what they do is they charge tariffs so that if you sell cars or if you sell anything, nobody's going to buy it because the price is out of control. But that's true with a lot of other countries also. So we're going to get fair deals and good deals with every country. And if we don't, we're going to have nothing to do with them. They're not going to be allowed to participate in the United States.
But now China raising tariffs to 125%. They're not the only ones, even good neighbors like Australia.
Just one example that seems to me to make the point is that our friends in Australia basically have put up barriers to the export of beef from the United States. My state, Texas, happens to produce a lot of beef cattle, and Australia basically denies access to its huge market, but not as a result of tariffs so much as non-tariff barriers to trade.
Texas Senator John Cornyn with the U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer.
Could you speak to that?
Yes, Senator. And it's always surprising because we have a free trade agreement with Australia and we would expect that we would have fair and reciprocal trade. Last year, I think we imported about $3 billion worth of Australian beef and we exported $0 of American beef to Australia. And it's not just beef. Australia also blocks on specious, you know, fake science grounds, the export of fresh and frozen U.S. pork. So it's incredible that they do this. We have zero exports of the fresh and frozen U.S. pork to Australia.
It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
On behalf of the farmers and ranchers, food security is national security.
On Thursday, the president's cabinet meeting, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
We have to be able to feed ourselves, and your idea of using tariffs along with deregulation and tax cuts, but your idea of using tariffs to ensure that we are putting forward and putting America first. No one understands that better than our farmers and our ranchers. But having said that, emerging from 4 years of Biden with a 30% increase in inputs for our farmers and ranchers with an almost $50 billion trade deficit, when we left the first time it was zero, meaning that they are hurting. So the period of uncertainty we're in, they know that your vision will move us into an age of prosperity for all Americans, but for my people, for the farmers and ranchers, unlike any they have seen before. And I think they are really, really excited and so grateful for your leadership. But also, you have never failed to say that you have the backs of our farmers and our ranchers. It was the first phone call that I had after I was voted with the Senate, and that message just resonates with an almost 85% support of you in the last election. They're with you. Interestingly, the biggest budget driver at the United States Department of Agriculture is not farming and ranching or agriculture, it's food stamps. And so as we emerge and embark, Secretary Kennedy and I, on your vision of making America healthy again, a massive part of that is realigning and reworking our food stamp program so that it better serves those who need it. And yeah, to the point of getting the transgender, DEI, Green New Deal out of the USDA and realigning is really important. So, thank you. Retail will come. Easter is the Super Bowl for eggs. So, you know, there may be a little fluctuation, but no, we feel really good about it. Thank you.
That's what I hear. Thank you.
Scott Bessent is Treasury Secretary.
I'd echo what Howard said on the trade cube, that we've got over 75 countries that want to come in. So it'll be Treasury, Commerce, Jamison at USTR, and we're putting a process in place. And as you said, you're going to be part of the negotiations too, because you know I've had these countries call me up, and the Secretary Bessent, we're happy you're going to be negotiating. I said, well, President Trump's going to be involved too.
So
bring your best deal on the budget. On the budget. It's moving quickly in the House and the Senate, thanks to your leadership. We're also going to have debt ceiling in there, so we're going to get an increase in the debt ceiling. So, and that will be the done and dusted for
part of the bill that we just got to vote on today.
Part of the bill. It'll be done and dusted for 2 years. We won't have to worry about that. And then I gave a speech yesterday to 1,400 small and community bankers, and they were so happy to hear from your administration. And I told them Wall Street's done great for the past 4 years, 10 years, 20 years. It can continue doing great, but it's Main Street's turn now. And it's those small bankers through deregulation, through emphasis on Main Street, your Main Street agenda, bringing back jobs, that is going to power the smaller communities. And then finally, the bond auction went very well yesterday. We had a lot of foreigners show up as the support, showing that the U.S. is still the best place to invest. The inflation report, as you said, was quite good. And energy prices are down more than 20% since January 20th.
Amazing.
Good numbers.
Great number.
Thank you.
It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I have always been, for my investment business, we used to do what was called the micro driving the macro.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
We did not have any better model for predicting non-farm payrolls, core PCE, that, you know, because I think a lot of that is this. But what we did was we went out, we talked to banks, we talked to businesses, we constructed a mosaic from the bottom up. And you know, I can tell you that there is a little uncertainty, but that in general, the companies that I've spoken to, the people who have come, the CEOs who have come into Treasury, tell me that the economy is very solid. We got some very good jobs numbers last Friday. So you know, I think that we are in a pretty good shape.
From the economy to tariffs.
Wednesday, after the president gave his address in the Rose Garden, I was doing media, I was out telling other countries, don't retaliate. And I think what a lot of people are missing here is that the levels that were put out last Wednesday are a ceiling. So if you don't retaliate, that is the ceiling. So we've been overwhelmed with the response to come to D.C. and negotiate. So President Trump on Monday had a very good call with the Japanese prime minister. He had a very good call with the president of Korea yesterday. We're seeing a delegation from Vietnam. So I think we have about 70 negotiations lined up. I'm not planning on going anywhere for Easter. I believe that I had obviously been providing advice on the tariffs, working more on the tax bill that we'll talk about. Now I'm going to take a lead negotiating role in a lot of the tariffs, starting with the Japanese delegation. But in terms of escalation, unfortunately, the biggest offender in the global trading system is China, and they're the only country who's escalated. And you know, I can tell the rest of the world that I'm not sure whether it was the prime minister or the economic minister in Spain made some comments this morning, oh, well, maybe we should align ourselves more with China. That would be cutting your own throat, because I can tell you that these Chinese exports that the U.S. tariff wall is going to keep out, that China, for all of you who can remember that Disney movie of the brooms carrying the buckets of water, that is the Chinese business model. It never stops. They just keep producing and producing and dumping and dumping, and it's going somewhere. And you know, I think, Rob, at the end of the day, that we can probably reach the a deal with our allies, with the other countries that have been long-term. They've been good military allies, not perfect economic allies, and then we can approach China as a group.
But some want a quick relief.
I understand why some of these congressmen, some of these senators, they are rabid and like, we got to do it now, but we can't do it all at once, or that will cause a recession. What will keep us from having a recession is making sure that the tax bill doesn't expire, adding back 100% depreciation, and then adding some of President Trump's agenda, no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime, and making, when I bought my first car, I'm 62, when I bought my first car, auto loans were tax deductible. So we're going to do that again for American-made cars.
It's Agriculture Today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Well, I think there are many that want to get rid of tariffs right now.
Talking tariffs, President Donald Trump.
European Union, I mean, as badly as they've treated us, they've, you know, they brought their car tariffs essentially off. I guess they brought it down to 2.5, and I hear maybe to nothing. But it's not only tariffs, it's non-monetary tariffs. It's tariffs where they put things on that make it impossible for you to sell a car. It's not a money thing. They make it so difficult, the standards and the tests. They drop a bowling ball on the top of your car from 20 feet up in the air, and if there's a little dent, they say, no, I'm sorry, your car doesn't qualify. When the same car from Germany or anything would dent likewise, unless you can have an army tank, it's going to dent. So they come up with rules and regulations that are just designed for one reason, that you can't sell your product in those countries, and we're not going to let that happen. Those are called non-monetary barriers. They make barriers that are so tough that it's impossible to qualify. So tariffs are a big part of it, but there's another big part of it, and that's barriers. They also do something else. They manipulate their currency, and they drive it down. They want to drive it. They want to have low currencies. You know, it sounds better to have a high currency, a strong dollar or whatever, but they bring their currency down, and when it competes with our currency, it's very hard to sell a tractor. It's very hard to sell product because their currency is low and ours is much higher, relatively. And so it makes it very hard. I speak to a lot of companies that do business, tractor companies, and they say it's so hard to sell because what they've done is they've lowered the yen or they've lowered the yuan or they've lowered their currency so that it's very hard to compete. We don't want that either. So we have a lot of things that we're talking about, but we're going to fix it properly. And it's going to be fair to everybody. And in the end, I think we're going to have a world that does a lot better. You know, but they have to respect the United States. And nobody but me would do this. Nobody but me would do this. You know, it would be nice to serve a nice, easy term. But we have an opportunity to change the fabric of our country. We have an opportunity to reset the table on trade. We lose billions of dollars. We lose close to $2 trillion a year on trade. We lose $1 trillion a year to China. A trillion. We lose hundreds of billions of dollars a year on trade to China. We lose hundreds of billions of dollars overall, probably close to $2 trillion. Why would we do that? Number one, why would we do that? And then you have to say, is it sustainable? Then you hear about all of the people that say, well, deficits, if we have a deficit with the country, or if the country has a big surplus with us, like China has a massive surplus that they take and they spend on their military. Well, we don't want that. I don't want them to take $500, $600 billion a year and spend it on their military. I don't want them spending money on their military. And I shouldn't have to spend money. We shouldn't have to spend it either. Because, you know, hopefully, and I said this to President Xi, hopefully it's money that we're never going to use. In other words, because we're not going to use those incredible weapons that we have and that they have. We don't want that. So it's going to be very interesting. It's the only chance our country will have to reset the table. Because no other president would be willing to do what I'm doing or to even go through it. Now, I don't mind going through it because I see a beautiful picture at the end. But we are making tremendous progress with a lot of countries, and the countries that really took advantage of us are now saying, please negotiate. You know why? Because they're getting beaten badly because of what's happening. They're getting beaten badly. They're being devalued as countries. But it's the only chance we're going to have to reset the table on trade.
It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
The basic two big data pools are the data around prices and around employment. And, you know, we get, in the employment area, we get just really, that's an area where we actually get pretty good data, although the survey response rates have been lower. Nonetheless, we get a lot of different data. And it's not just unemployment, it's participation, it's by age group and things like that. It's wages, it's many, many different things.
Chairman of the Federal Reserve is Jerome Powell.
It's jobs, it's quits, job creation, quits, openings, all those things. So that's one thing. On inflation, we target PCE, personal consumption expenditure inflation, not CPI, and the two are broadly they move together. But 25 years ago, the Fed switched to PCE. The public looks at CPI. It's kind of a little bit of a thing, but because we think, you know, it's really just a better way to capture the inflation, the cost pressures that households and businesses feel. We think it's a better measure, and that's what we look at. But they're not that different. I mean, they're just they look at different measures. Ultimately, they're pretty close together. Those things, you know, on growth, you look at what's happening with consumer spending. The economy is overwhelmingly driven by consumer spending. So you look at consumer surveys, how are they feeling, how are they spending. Sometimes the surveys are very negative, but they keep spending. That happens. That's been happening really for a while. People spent right through the pandemic, and they spent right through this time of higher inflation. They kept spending, and forecasters kept thinking, like us, kept thinking that consumption would slow down. But that's a really critical thing. After that, business investment is a big chunk, and you look at that, and that is also susceptible to sentiment. You know, businesses, if they don't know what to do, they're not going to do an acquisition, or they're going to hold off on building a factory or a plant or hiring people and things like that. So we look at, I mean, I could go on for a long time. We look at a lot of data, and we try to make sense. We also talk to people who are in the real economy. You know, I grew, my career was mostly in the private sector, talking to, you know, to people who ran businesses. And I, for me, the story doesn't come together until I actually hear from people who are in the economy doing things and what they're feeling and seeing. And then it sort of fits together better.
Speaking of fitting together, China now raising their tariffs to 125%. President Donald Trump.
With China, as you know, against my statement, they put a 34% tariff on above what their ridiculous tariffs were already. And I said, if that tariff isn't removed by tomorrow at 12 o'clock, we're putting a 50% tariff on above the tariffs that we put on. So they've gone for years. They've become a rich country because of people, again, that were in the White House that allowed this to happen. Hundreds of billions of dollars a year they'd make on us on trade, and it shouldn't be that way. And I have a great relationship with President Xi. I hope it's going to stay that way. I have great respect for China, but they can't do this. We're going to have one shot at this, and no other president's going to do this, what I'm doing. And I'll tell you what, it's an honor to do it, because we have been just destroyed what they've done to our system. You know, we have $36 trillion of debt for a reason. And the reason is that people allowed it to get that way. So we'll be talking to China. We'll be talking to a lot of different countries. And I think, you know, if we can make a really fair deal and a good deal for the United States, not a good deal for others, this is America first. It's now America first.
This is Agriculture Today.
This is Agriculture Today.
As expected, minimal changes recorded in USDA's April crop production report and world agricultural supply and demand estimates. Most of the data designed to move the domestic balance sheet derives from last month's quarterly grain and rice stocks estimates. The ledgers for corn, soybeans, and rice record month-over-month decreases in ending stocks, while wheat ending stocks increased in April. The supply and demand estimate adjustments did little to impact price, as none of the major quarterly stock commodities reported a change in the season-ending average price from the previous month. The U.S. cotton balance sheet, however, noted a slight decrease in exports for March and a one-dime increase in the season-ending average price. The loan production report was for our nation's orange crop, a 2% increase from the previous month, yet an 8% decline from year-over-year final utilizations. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.